Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, March 16th. James Edwards here in studio with you from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a global audience. And we get the emails every week from people tuning in from all around the world. And we are happy, no matter how you're tuning in tonight, that you are here with us this evening. And as I said, it's going to be a special show, a fun show. We've got a lot of different things we're doing this evening. Had a lot of fun during the first hour with Keith Alexander, and at the very end, Peter Scoop Stanton, as we made a mockery of the left. Well, I guess we just let the left make a mockery of themselves, and we just talked about it. Third and final hour, as the tribute to Bill Rowland continues, we're going to go back to an interview that he conducted in 2006 with Jim Gilchrist of the Minuteman Project. But first, and right now, I should say, Winston Smith is joining us once again, and he has another very special guest on to promote one of his most recent novels. And it's a regular guest that we're very high on. Winston, take it from there, my friend.
Thank you very much, James. My friends, I'm pleased to once again welcome my friend, Danny Nowicki, to the Political Cesspool. excuse me there. I didn't mean to choke on it. Anyhow, Andy Nowicki is the author of the controversial cult classic The Columbine Pilgrim, which I highly recommend if you're a reader with a night gallery sort of bent, if you know what I mean. He lives and works in Savannah, Georgia. His other published books include Considering Suicide, Under the Hill, and The Doctor and the Heretic. He's also a regular contributing editor for the online journal Alternative Right. He's here tonight to discuss his latest novel, Heart Killer. And at YouTube, you can see Andy describe the story. Just do a search for Heart Killer, Andy Nowicki. And you can keep up with Andy's comings and goings by visiting his blog called Dyspeptic Myopic. Interesting title that, in my mind, only confirms Andy Nowicki's writerliness. So with that, I say, Andy, welcome once again to the Political Cesspool.
Well, thank you, Winston and James. Thank you both for having me again. It's most appreciated. It's good to be here.
Oh, don't thank James. I'm the one that got you on the show, man.
Okay, well, thank you, Winston, and thanks, James, for reluctantly agreeing.
No, my friend. I take good advice, and when your name's included, it's just that much better.
Well, thanks.
Okay, Andy, let's treat the listeners to the Cliff Notes version of Heart Killer. Could you give it to us, please?
The Cliff Notes version of Heart Killer, let's see, if I were to pitch this novel that I've written, which, of course, I am doing, to likely or potential readers, which, of course, I am doing, I would say that this is a novel about, to start really generally, this is a novel about the desire for vengeance. The desire for revenge, I should say, and revenge shades into vengeance, I suppose. Revenge is being something that we can all, I think, relate to universally as just on a gut level. Now, you know, if we're good and proper Christians, of course, we say vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and, you know, turn the other cheek and all those kinds of things. Even yes, we laugh at that. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy, and I think that it's, you know, we chuckle at those kinds of things because it's just hearing those kinds of what sound to us as platitudes, just because revenge is such a like I said, something that just comes very naturally, or the desire for it comes very naturally. We all feel wronged in one way or another. We all would like to get even. For the wrongs that we've suffered, or that we believe we've suffered, that makes up a big part of who we are, and that's part of what the story is about. Heart Killer, the desire for revenge, and also it's about the terrible vengeance that of desire itself. When we speak of revenge or the desire for revenge, what first comes to mind as a kind of battlefield? Well, high school. and you know, we think back, maybe not for everybody, but certainly for me, and I think for a lot of people, you know, we think back on the kind of the cruelties that we suffered during our adolescence, in one way or another, especially if we were not lucky enough to be on the popular side of things. Well, I'll leave myself out of it, but in any case,
I'm sure you were happening.
You obviously knew me back then. Yes, indeed, I was happening. But in any case, when adolescence strikes, of course, what else strikes is puberty and sexual desire. And so often we see our first the first manifestations of our sexuality is so often, so tragically often infused with humiliation, and so for the main character of Heart Killer, of course, these two things, for both of the characters in Heart Killer, the two things, their sexuality, their desire, and their desire for revenge or vengeance, for evening the score, these two things kind of get morphed together in a very unusual and provocative way. And other ways I would sell it, you know, if I were to pitch it, I would say this is also, I mean, it's a complicated story in some ways, but it's also a very simple story in some ways. It's the story of star-crossed lovers on a crash course, each of them far from perfect, both of them suffering or struggling in many ways with certain personality defects, but I would say both relatable, you know, if not sympathetic exactly. And also, this is a mystery thriller, and a kind of done it, and you know, with a little bit of alternate history and time travel thrown in the mix, just for good measure. So there you have it. There's the Cliff Notes version, Heart Killer.
Folks, I do want to tell you that that Heart Killer is it's not a departure for Andy Nowicki's work, but it is something that is definitely amped up, if you will, and it is certainly not for squeamish readers, and it's absolutely not for children. We're gonna deal with those themes a little bit later. And if you get put off by Andy mentioning the sexual themes in it, I ask you to please hang on. There's more to this story than meets the eye. I've read it twice, and I got something out of it both times. Now, I'm a glutton for punishment, man. But there are only two main characters in the story. There's Francis Newman and Johann Salvadoris.
Winston, you know the music's coming up, so that means a commercial break is right around the corner, and we're at it now. Folks, stay tuned. When we return, Winston Smith will continue his interview of Andy Nowicki, noted author and columnist, here to promote his one of his latest books, Heart Killer. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made, AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards here in studio. Winston Smith co-hosting with me tonight. And our featured guest of the evening, Andy Nowicki, author. His latest novel, Heart Killer, is the subject of the entire hour of the broadcast this evening. But don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, as we've mentioned a couple of times previously, that in tonight's third and final hour, we're going to go back into the broadcast archives all the way back to 2006 and catch a classic interview that the late, great Bill Rowland conducted with Jim Gilchrist, founder of the Minutemen Project. This follows on the heel of the interview that we replayed last week during the third hour, Bill and Michael Andrew Grissom. And we're going to continue to do that during the third hour of each broadcast during the month of March to honor our recently lost friend and Confederate. Winston Smith, though, continuing now. Winston, you know, we mentioned previously about listeners all over the world tuned in this evening. I got an email from one in particular that wanted me to give you a very hearty hello, and that would be our producer, Art Frith, who was tuned in this evening up in Michigan. He says hello and wants you to know it.
Well, thank you very much, James, and thank you, Chief Frith. I appreciate that. I hate that we are also spread around the country, and you know, who knows, maybe one day we can have a political cesspool reunion. Unfortunately, minus one, but you'll be with us always in our hearts and minds. But thank you very much, James, and thank you, Chief Art Frith. I appreciate it.
We got to wait till we all get to heaven before we can reunite with Bill. But until then, I second the emotion, as Smokey Robinson would say, and we should all get together and do that. Chief, I know you're listening. Book a ticket back down to Memphis. We'll let Winston pay the bill since he invited you. But first,
yeah.
Hey, listen, folks, getting back to the heart of the matter. Winston, you and I guess, shared a text message exchange for an hour and a half, 2 hours, talking about this interview. It's one that I'm very excited about and glad that you are conducting. So by all means, I'm going to step back and let you take it away once again with our featured guest, Andy Nowicki. Back to Heart Killer.
I'll bet you are glad I'm the one doing the interview. All right, before I went on the break, I had introduced the two main characters of Andy Nowicki's latest novel, Heart Killer, and those two characters are Francis Newman and John Salvadoris. So, Andy, I'd like you to ask you to, as delicately as you can, to please tell us about some of Francis Newman's experiences and how they prepare her for her encounter with Johann Salvadoris.
Well, Francis Newman, who for most of the book is named Francis Lazarus, Newman is her yeah. married name. She's married near the end of the story. But Francis is, like Johann, is somewhat of a paradox. On the one hand, to the visible eye, to most people's perception, she is a successful, strong, glamorous, beautiful woman who has succeeded on her own terms. You know, the essence of feminism, or as feminism is seen by some, I suppose. And yet, she is really has a side that she keeps hidden from the world that is much more. Much more real, much more accurately defines her. But on a more surface level, of course, talking about the character, Frances is a very ambitious, clever, smart FBI profiler, and she made it big in the early part of her career in the early 80s by exposing this one. Serial killer exposing his numerous crimes, being responsible for, in essence, putting him away, and she gained a lot of notoriety in popular culture, appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone and other places, wrote a book, a biography, a TV movie was made about her, and yet all along she is really struggling in a way that nobody knows, of course near the beginning of the story or near the beginning of her story, she meets up with Johann Salvadoris when there's this case of all these beautiful girls mysteriously dying, seemingly of suicides. The most popular girls at this particular school. This high school near Atlanta, Georgia, and so she goes to investigate this case because there's some evidence of foul play, although it's not, it's not there right there on the surface. But she ends up talking to the boy who she takes to be the prime suspect in some manner, who is Johann Salvadoris, and when they meet up, of course, sparks fly.
Andy, how old is Johann Salvadoris at the point he meets Francis?
Well, this is getting into some of the book's more complicated territory, but he is, I believe, 17 at the time that they meet up. So she's a grown woman, he's a teenager, and yet things are not what they seem. And what we find out later on is that Johann has. Actually led a full life into middle age and has gone back in time and taken his teenage body again. But of course we don't know this at first. I'm kind of giving that away right now, just because I think it facilitates our discussion.
Frances introduces us to, in her words, quote, a captivating and unsettling young man named Johann Salvadoris, unquote. And we find out that Johann is just as damaged as Francis is. And folks, when I say damaged, take my word for it, these people are messed up, right? But he's strange, even enigmatic, so much so that Francis describes him this way. Just who was this boy, this Johann? Why did he seem so oddly, psychically misshapen, as if his own skin somehow didn't fit the shape of his soul? That was a great description. I like that. I highlighted that. I never highlight my books.
Well, thank you.
Andy, would you tell us about Johann Salvadoris?
Well, as I said before, Johann has a strange character arc, but it's based off of a premise that I think is fairly close to universal, and that is looking back at our youth. A lot of us, a lot of times we wonder what. Boy, if only I could have been, X age again and had that experience again, I would have done this differently. I would have done that differently. I wouldn't have been so timid. I would have taken more chances. You know, what did I really have to lose? Why was I, you know, playing it so safe, and so forth and so on? You know, we all have regrets, and most often our regrets are centered around things we didn't do rather than things we did do. I shouldn't say always, but often they are. I mean, there are people with true regrets for things that they for actions they took as well. But in Johann's case, he grows up nursing. While a boy for the first time, going through his first adolescence, he had a terrible time. He's, much like my character in the Columbine Pilgrim, Tony Meander. He's mocked and made fun of, and has absolutely no success with girls. Fantasizes a lot, but of course he's looked down on as a nerd and a geek and a loser and all those kinds of things. And you know, adolescence, teenage years are, as I said, we're no more vulnerable than we are at that time, and yet our peers are usually never crueler than they are at that time, and so that shapes the character of Johann in ways that I'll wait till after the break because I hear the music swell.
Andy, you are good at this. I tell you, you're a pro. You know what the music means. We're going to take that break, and Winston Smith and Andy Nowicki will continue their discussion of the novel Heart Killer right after these words from our sponsors.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I know at some point Andy's going to remind us how we can get a copy of Heart Killer. And Andy, by all means, take the opportunity to get that information out there whenever you feel prompted to do so. But getting back to the story itself, Winston Smith continuing on with his interview of Andy Nowicki.
Thanks, James. And I'll take the opportunity now to tell folks where they can lay hold of a copy. It's available at erbooks.com. It's a British publishing house, and you'll get the international experience of having a few bucks converted into English pounds. And it'll make you feel like James Bond, believe me. You can also get it at Amazon.com. What can't you get at Amazon.com? And again, I'll encourage you to go to YouTube and do a search for Heart Killer Andy Nowicki. And again, you can go to Andy's blog at Dyspeptic Myopic. All right. Continuing on. Andy, you had started telling us about the character Johann Salvador. So is there anything else you wanted to say about him?
Yes. Well, the last thing I said was that he, of course, in his first... His initial adolescence was terrible and scarred him, and moreover left him with this desire, this thirst for revenge. He wanted to get back at the people who tormented him, much very much like, in some ways, like the character in my other book, The Columbine Pilgrim. Although Johann goes about things rather differently than Tony Meander, the character in The Columbine Pilgrim. Johann, because, as I said, this is a book about the vengeance, the revenge, the desire for revenge and the vengeance of desire. For Johann, these two things are all enmeshed. He remembers being rejected, and not just rejected, but humiliated and laughed at by the girls that he lusted after in high school. And so, as a result, when he gets into his 20s, he, through his own force of will, becomes this sort of self-taught pickup artist slash Don Juan Casanova type. But he does it out of a desire just to wreak havoc more than anything else. It's not out of a desire to satisfy or fulfill his lusts. Figures out a way to seduce women, women who think that they're above him and above his station. He goes about it and goes about very ruthlessly and ultimately successfully. He takes it to a certain level, and eventually, it's like sort of, where do I go from here? And there's also this sort of awareness that his innocence has been shredded, and part of him, you know, would like to have it back. And then through some miraculous intervention that's never really explained, he wakes up one morning in his 16-year-old body, and he's back at high school again with the consciousness of this 41-year-old Casanova with this, you know, this ruthless seductive abilities, these ruthless seductive abilities. And of course, this feeds into the whole question, what would I do differently? If you go back to high school and all of a sudden, you look like the same pathetic, nerdy little twit, but deep down inside, you know, you're this confident, grown man, man in some ways, it's like a kid in a candy shop or whatever kind of cliche you can think of. He ends up going back, and at first he resists this desire to ply his seductive skills, but eventually he gives in. and ends up seducing the girl who was the object of his desires the first time around, and of course who rejected him. This time she is unable to resist him, and it leads to her humiliation, and that in turn leads to this domino effect that the dominoes fall across the entirety of history.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that Johann explores is a kind of he matches together the desire of vengeance and the vengeance of desire. Mm-hmm. And Frances does something that seems rather similar to me. She meshes evil and God together so tightly that eventually evil becomes not a god to Frances, but evil becomes God. Is that an accurate assessment? Is that accurate?
Hmm. Well, that's astute. That's a good interpretation. And I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think Frances is struggling like Johann. You've given it away. I guess I didn't mention this before, but she has this kink, and that is that, in spite of her, her very successful seemingly very dominant persona, she secretly likes the idea of being dominated by men. And it's interesting in some ways. You know, I wrote this book before ever hearing about 50 Shades of Grey and this whole phenomenon of it's in some ways it's a kind of a paradox itself. We live in a time of feminism supreme, where it's just sort of the default position to be a feminist, whoever you are, and if you aren't, if you raise questions about it, then woe betide you. And yet the most popular books out there that women are reading are about women who desire to be dominated and have some strong, manly, macho figure, really dominate them and be submissive to this kind of man. And so in a way, this is what Frances develops, this fetish. And of course, it's complicated in her case. The kind of things that have led to it are, a very bad relationship with a very bad father, and a really poor sibling relationship with an older sister who was very cruel to her during their childhood together. Anyway, you never really know how these things happen. What causes us to desire the things that we want. I mean, we have to. Again, if we are believers, if we're Christians, or even just if we believe that there have to be limitations, which most normal rational people do, you've got to kind of tame your desires, and yet it they can be a monster, and that's the case with both of the characters in Heartkiller. They're both fighting against a roaring monster within them.
Andy, we're running out of time, but I want to jump into some other questions of a different nature regarding Heartkiller. Your previous novels, they all have dark and disturbing themes, despair and suicide and insurmountable failure, mental breakdown, government-sanctioned medical experimentation, and mass murder. And then there's the really bad stuff that I don't want to mention. Heartkiller is like nothing I've read before. The language is vulgar. The characters are depraved. The situations are lurid and obscene. But other than that, it's a pretty good read.
Yeah.
Now you and I are
I feel like I'm getting a tongue lashing here.
Oh, no, not at all.
I know.
You and I are fully devoted to our respective religions. You're a devout Roman Catholic. And how about that new pope, And I'm a long-grip Calvinist. And many of our spiritual brothers and sisters might question our morals, even our Christianity, in your case for writing Heartkiller, and in my case for reading and enjoying it. Would their criticism be justified?
No, you know, I've thought about this question a lot, and you know, it doesn't bother me at all if it's not to people's taste. You know, of course, people don't have to like it, but I really think that there is, unfortunately, among a lot of conservatives, and maybe especially among religious conservatives, people who are devout, and I'm all for, you know, devout faith and the promulgation of devout faith, but there really is this kind of Philistinism among some of them that annoys me.
Andy, they're playing our song again, my friend. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to wrap up this interview with Andy Nowicki in the final segment of the second hour right after this.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. One final segment left in the second hour. The primary and sole focus of this hour has been the promotion of Andy Nowicki's book, Heart Killer. Winston Smith, a fan of the title, read it twice. And he is here to interview Andy this evening, and we will get to the conclusion of that interview right after I remind you one more time that forthcoming in the third and final hour of tonight's show, We will go back to the year 2006 and feature an interview that Bill Rowland conducted with Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen Project, continuing on our memorialization of Bill Rowland during the third and final hour each week during the month of March. But first, back to you, Winston and Andy.
Thanks, James. Andy, continuing on with our, shall I say, our defense as to why you can write these very disturbing novels and how I can enjoy them, even though we both are most assuredly committed to our religions. You know, I have an English degree. I've been a student of English since high school, and I enjoy reading it. I enjoy reading literature to appreciate the techniques that authors use, as well as the stories. And I guess that allows me to look past, in this case, all the luridness and perversion and sickness, really, that's represented in Heart Killer.
Mm-hmm.
To see what's behind the story. And I'm not going to make any apologies to anybody for that. And I don't think you should make apologies for writing it. What do you think of that?
Yes, well, I totally agree. I mean, as I was saying before, maybe I'll approach it this way. You know, most of what is discussed on Political Cesspool and other sites like Alternative Right, the site that I write for, are things related to politics or culture or society. But I really think if we're going to have a vibrant movement, there's an aesthetic prong to conservatism, to alternative rightism, to you know, whatever we want to call what we are, and that's one of the things I'm really trying to bring about is a renaissance on the right among, you know, and there used to be, you know, in the early part of the 20th century, there were many famous writers, successful writers, who were openly right wing, conservative, extremely conservative types, and that's really not the case so much today. And I think in a lot of ways, conservatism has been afflicted with, as I was saying, a kind of Philistinism, where it's like, oh, if it's got sex and violence in it, then it must be bad. And, you know, of course, I'm not advocating sex and violence or profanity or anything else as being somehow good in themselves. I'm saying it's all about the context. And for me, with this book, Heart Killer, and I think for other books that I've written, you know, it is about what I'm trying to do is establish in some ways the modern crisis, sort of like what Dostoevsky attempted to do in his work. I really see my work in some ways being parallel to Dostoevsky's Notes from Underground, although I, of course, don't claim to be the next coming of Dostoevsky. I'm not that ambitious or foolishly arrogant. But I try not to be anyway. But anyway, you mean you have to aim high, you know. That's the deal with Heart Killer, and it is. You say it goes beyond anything that you've read before by me, and I mean, but you mean it, but that you like it, and I appreciate that. I mean, I really appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you having me on, giving me a chance to talk about it. To me, though, I don't know if if I was to think about things that I've written that I find extremely disturbing, I would say that The Columbine Pilgrim is significantly more disturbing than Heart Killer, because of how it ends, and because there's really no, I think there's, you know, the at the end of that story, the main character has chosen his route, and there's really, you know, he's in the bowels of hell right now, and there's really nothing that can be done. I mean, it's over. And whereas in this case, you know, you've got characters who are really struggling, and, you know, trying to be good, trying to do the right thing, maybe often not trying hard enough, as we hardly ever do. Most of us, you know, often we don't try hard enough, but we all, you know, we're aware of the struggle. And I guess it sort of depends. I don't mean to go on and on here, but Heart Killer is a very, you know, sexually explicit novel. I guess that has its own kind of, you know, people have their own kind of opinions about that, especially, you know, people who of religious conviction who might just think that this is just something you absolutely stay away from no matter what, you know, is these explicit depictions of sex. But I don't know. I mean, is it okay to have, you know, somebody mowing down a whole crowd of people and, you know, fixating on their injuries and you know, shooting them in the face and doing all the kind of things that you see happening in the Columbine Pilgrim? It's sort of a, you know, tomato kind of thing, I guess.
Well, I enjoyed Heart Killer, and I think there are plenty of reasons why many heretofore squeamish readers would enjoy it as well. I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. You're not only a provocative novelist, but you're also an insightful thinker and social commentator. I visit Alternative Right a couple times a week, and each new article you post there is always the first one I read. So, once again, thanks, Andy, for joining me in the political cesspool. I appreciate your work, and I hope other people will give it a try. They probably should not start with Heart Killer, though. Go to the Columbine Pilgrim. Yeah, go to the Columbine Pilgrim first, and that'll be a good introduction to Andy Nowicki.
Well, thanks again for having me, and again, if I could say, just if you're interested in the book, you can find it from the publisher, which is erbooks.com, or you can find it on Amazon. Just type in Heart Killer and type in my name to see some of the other things I've published.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Andy. I look forward to I enjoy our conversations on Facebook Messenger, and you're just a great guy, and I really enjoy being a colleague of yours. Thanks again, brother.
Oh, thanks, Winston. That's very sweet of you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, James, for having me as well.
All right, see you next time, Andy.
Well, Winston, you did it, brother. You know, we were talking all week in preparation for this interview, which, you know, was preordained that I would kind of take a backseat role. Reasons for not the least of which being that you've read the book, and I have just ordered it, but so I guess you should have been the one to have interviewed it. But I had heard a lot about this book. When you told me a week ago that you wanted to have Andy back on, I was thinking to myself, well, that's good. Andy's always a good interview. And then when you told me you were having him on to talk about Heart Killer, because he's written a couple of books since he last appeared, I was even more intrigued. And I know this was something you wanted to do, so I'm glad that it was that it happened.
Well, it's definitely a novel like none other I've ever read, and I can see where people of our sensitivities, or maybe more sensitivities, would be very put off by it, because it is a very harsh book, and as I said, the language is vulgar, the scenes are obscene, but still, you know, if you have the literary fortitude, you will find a lot there to appreciate, not just in the story, but in Andy Nowicki's technique. He's very innovative. That's one good word I would use for him. He's very innovative, and most of his writing is in the first person, so you actually get the impression that you're inside the narrator's head. And I encourage folks to try that, but again, do not start with Heart Killer. Go to Columbine Pilgrim. The ending will keep you thinking for weeks, if not months. I still think about it occasionally.
Well, Winston, the star of this hour is without question your facilitator, to bring her into this. I want to thank her for the wizardry in making you available this evening. Of course, Winston, you've suffered the loss of your hearing, so you're here this evening, as always, at least for your last several appearances, with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist who is relaying to you what she hears spoken on the air. You're reading it and responding in kind. It's a marvelous system you've set up. I hope we can exploit it much more often.
Well, she's very kind to donate her time to this effort, and believe me, man, she types crazy fast. I don't know if there's any much of a time lag between what she types and what you say, but I think the timing is working out just right. And she's really very kind to do this for us, and I hope I hope we're making it. I hope we're taking good advantage of her efforts, because I'm sure it's not easy for her to do it, and I appreciate it.
Well, I wanted to give credit where credit is due. Certainly, credit is due to her this evening. And I know, Winston, you'll be back in 2 weeks with another great interview, which we'll be promoting on the website in short order. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the second hour. On behalf of our guests, Andy Nowicki and Winston Smith, I'm James Edwards, and I'll be back to wrap things up in the third and final hour as we revisit a classic interview conducted by our dearly departed friend, Bill Rowland. Stay tuned.